A message from God would be in order now. And so you pray. I'm speaking on the subject of hell's vandals. V-A-N-D-A-L-S. Now, I'm sure of one thing. That since there is a devil, and I'm going to defrock him the best I can, he's going to raise all the Cain he can. And I'd hate to think that the devil, as mean and sorry as he is, would approve of what I'm going to preach. But I'm against the devil, and I'm against sin, only because I'm for Christ. Now, my getting against sin didn't make me for Christ. My being for Christ made me against sin. I never did fall out with the devil until I fell in with Jesus. Now, folks, I'm going to do everything but spell out. Since the words are so simple, you won't miss it at all. And I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really want the joy and the peace of Jesus in your heart? If you do, you take these one by one and get rid of them. Now, God said, we've got to get rid of the accursed thing before I'm going to bless you. When Achan saw, he lusted, and he took. Now, that's the three steps in sin. You see it, you lust after it, and then the next step, you just go after it. And that's what he did. Now, I don't believe in praying over known sin. You say, what? I believe there's no need praying about sin. A man came to me and said, will you pray with me about my cigarettes? I said, no. He said, Brother Rolo, why do... I said, throw them down, kick them out, and then we'll thank God for deliverance. I tell you, sometimes we use prayer as a soul save. Well, I say my prayers. I talked to an alcoholic, and she said, I prayed last night, but she drank about all the liquor she could get today. See, that's not the answer. You don't mean it until you're willing to bust the bottle. And I've got news for you, and you better heed it. God is not going to forgive you of your confessed sins, but He's going to forgive you of your forsaken sins. And you can trot down this aisle until you wear this red carpet out. But you'll never get deliverance from the sin that you're going to hang on to. And Joshua found himself praying, and the Lord, at least in my terminology, said, Joshua, the prayer meeting's over. There are some things you need to pray about. There's some things you need to do something else about. And I want you to start searching the tents. Now, brother, that's when the fat hits the fire. I mean, the grease begins to burn. And so he did. And he found the trouble. He found the trouble. I want to look for the accursed thing. There's something that's putting a curse on us. There's something that's keeping us from having victory in our lives. The average church member knows nothing about complete spiritual victory. Has no joy, has no peace, he's not satisfied, he's miserable. I drove out the Orange Blossom Trail, isn't that it up here? And I went out by there, and I saw a big sign, and I saw a lot of cars, and I knew it wasn't church. But it's a big auditorium. And so I just have to confess it, I made my second trip to a bowling alley. I just wanted to look the situation over. I thought maybe they'd been converted. I thought maybe they'd be singing, Oh, How I Love Jesus, but they wasn't. And I wanted to go in for one particular reason, and I found out what I went in there for. And I found out that they got a liquor store right in the middle of it. That's right. And all you folks that go out to the Sky Bowl to bowl, you're going right in the middle of a liquor store. You say it's none of your business. Oh, yeah, it's some of my business. Yeah. If your soul is my business, then it's some of my business. And I tell you, they had a crowd of them out there. Grandma, Uncle John, Aunt Emmer. There's all out there. And I saw a line of people. I mean, it was a double line. It went way down that way and way back up this way. And I couldn't figure out what this lined up for. And directly I saw they were getting hot dogs and hamburgers. They were eating. And there the liquor bar was and all the rest. Folks, if it makes you mad, just go ahead and get that away. But Christians have no business in places like that. Amen. Oh, I know you say recreation. Yeah, recreation. Dear friends, I can prove to you that that kind of recreation is not getting the job done. A little boy, 12 years old, walked in the bowling alley the other day, and he bowled, and he was the finest young boy bowler that ever bowled. He set the best score, and he went home and died right quick with a heart attack. That was his recreation for you. It wrecked him, all right. It killed him. He got so excited and so worked up, and probably breathed so much nasty cigarette smoke. Listen, why don't you use your sense a little bit? If you want some exercise, get out and walk across these beautiful orange groves and thank God for the privilege. Breathe some fresh air. You don't have to be secondhand cigarette smoke. I'm just leading up to my sermon. Now, listen, the thing about it, the devil has vandalized this earth and the souls of men. And if you knew that you had $100,000 in your house and some friend came to you and said, "Say, Buster, I heard a conversation down on the street and they gave the address and the night and the time and your house is going to be vandalized. They're coming. Now, they know that you're supposed to be on a trip. Would you go on a trip? Would you be present? Would you have any officers in there?" Now, I'm warning you that the vandals of hell are coming to your house. And maybe already there, and it may be a little late, but still get them out. I'm going to literally name hell's vandals that came right out of hell representing the devil. Now, the devil's a liar. The devil's a liar. He's a deceiver. Now let's get our Bibles and read some scripture. Romans chapter 7 and verse 11. Romans chapter 7 and verse 11. We sure do underestimate the blinding, deceiving influence of the devil. In the 7th chapter and the 11th verse, we read these words. "And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death." Now, verse 11. "For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." What did sin do? It deceived me. What is the devil? He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. Now then, turn with me, please, to the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. 15 and verse 33. "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Young people, you know what that means? You run with the wrong crowd, they'll corrupt you. Like the little girl in the beautiful white dress said as she took a tour through the coal mine and started down the elevator, and the man looked at her that was escorting the tour and chaperoning the tour. He said, "That's a mighty beautiful dress. That's a white dress." Well, she said, "Is there anything to keep me from going in the coal mine with a white dress on?" He smiled and said, "No, young lady, but there'll be a lot of things to keep you from coming out with a white dress on." That's it. Sure, you can wear your little white character off to the beer joint, but you'll have a hard time bringing it back with you. I'd like to give you another verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10 and verse 11. Verse 9 and 10. "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." You know what effeminate, you know what that is? That's sissies. That's these little fellas, you know. That's these little fellas that have their boyfriends, you know. Effeminate. This country's full of them. Dirtiest, filthiest, sorriest, triflingest bunch on the face of this earth. Can't even walk like a man. And yet, the Bible said it'll be like that just before Jesus comes. Effeminate. Nor thieves. Nor covetous. Nor drunkards. Nor revelers. You know what that reveler is? That's dancing set to music. Nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now let me tell you what I believe about that scripture. I believe it means exactly what it says. Class dismissed. You'd say, "Brother Wolof, make it plain. I just mean that a drunkard can't go to heaven." Might as well face it. Just means that people that live like this as a habit of their life means they're lost. Now, no need twisting the scripture. That's what God said. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath what? Blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now turn to that little bitty book that only has one chapter, and it's 2 John. And we're going to listen to that brave-hearted, but tender-hearted, compassionate Brother John as he speaks. And I want to find out who the deceivers are and what they look like. 2 John, only chapter, verse 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world. Now what is a deceiver? Who confessed not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Doesn't make any difference what folks may say. Any man that does not believe the virgin birth, that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, he's a deceiver. Now, if you've got any preachers here that do not believe in the virgin birth, the whole kit and caboodle of them are deceivers. And if that's not strong enough for you, I'll just tell you what John said. They're antichrist. That means they're against Christ. Well, I can understand that. If a man doesn't believe the Bible and doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was virgin born, you know what he says? He's an imposter. He was a liar. He was a fake. He was a false prophet. He wasn't a good man. He wasn't God. They deny his divinity and his deity. Therefore, they are deceivers and antichrists. Now, with these scriptures ringing in our souls, and one other I must give you. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7. Be not deceived. Now, here's the thing that's serious, brethren, in this chapter. Right here. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to the Galatian Christians. Now, you don't tell lost people not to be deceived. They're already deceived. They're born that way. Amen? You see, you don't go to a lost man and say, now, look here. You're going to have to be real careful or you're going to be deceived. Well, he's been deceived all of his life. He never did have his eyes open. If you're lost, I'm not telling you not to be deceived. It's too late. You've already been deceived. But wait a minute. The serious part of this scripture is, it's possible for Christians to be deceived. Now, if it were not, he wouldn't have said, be not deceived. Be not deceived. He said that, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Now he said, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. In other words, don't you be deceived, because God can't be deceived, and you can't fool him. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit, life everlasting. And be not weary in well-doing, because in due season you're going to reap if you don't faint. And as we receive mercy, we faint not. And the Bible says in the book of Romans, and God is able to make you stand. He's able to make you stand. And let me say, before I name the first vandal of hell, this is so whether you believe it or not. And this is so whether you heed it or not. And I'm going to say this. It would have been a lot better on you for you to have stayed at home than for you to have come to church and stick your fist in the truth I'm fixing to deliver to you tonight. Because I believe that we're going to be judged according to the light that God gives us. And if we turn our back on the light, the Bible says that light shall become darkness. And how great is that darkness? And so Christians, we're obligated to practice what we know. I talked to a lawyer. He makes no bones about it. He said, I practice law. You talk to the doctor, and he'll say, well, I practice medicine. You talk to the Christian, he ought to say, I practice Christ. Now, I want to help you to practice him tonight. And we've got a negative side. Just like a battery has got two posts on it, and you know it. It's a negative post and a positive. And the battery is just as helpless without the negative as it is without the positive. And dear friends, it was a sad day when the modernists and higher education and theological training made the preacher start being nice and quit calling sin by name. Now with that, I'm hastening right into the middle of the message. Vandal number one, man's writings. Man has written a lot of filth that ought never to have been written. The writings of men are filthier. The magazines and the newspapers are filthier and dirtier than they've ever been in the history of the world. And I've got a word for Christians, and I know it's drastic. And that is, we're spending too much time reading daily newspapers. That's the first thing the average person thinks about when he wakes up in the morning, along with his coffee cup. And I know that this rubs against the feathers a little bit. But it's so, we're spending too much time keeping up with what man's doing. And I tell you what people are doing. The reason they like to read the newspapers is because they're interested in what's going on down here. If you read the Bible, you can find out what has gone on down here, what is going on, what shall go, but what's going on up yonder. And you will not become more heavenly minded by setting out a newspaper or poring over its pages, reading funny papers and all the announcements and all the trash and garbage. And God's people need to quit reading so much of the newspapers and magazines and man's writings. Now, the reason I say that is because we've neglected the Bible to do it. And any time you spend more time reading the newspaper than do the Bible, I believe you're living in black, stinking sin. Now, I know that is a pretty powerful blow, but that's it. We've got to get back to the Bible, or we'll never have survival or revival. And you're not going to grab a worldly newspaper with all the murders and killings and all the divorces and all the filth and all the junk in it and spend your time reading it and neglect the Bible and expect God to bless you. You're not going to do it. That's a vandal. It's stolen. It's robbed our homes and our hearts. The newspaper. And then besides, the money that you spend for it. Think about it. And you think of the magazines that you take. And yet they advertise what? Beer? Liquor? Cigarettes? Our Christian homes are not any different from the worldly homes. I believe there ought to be a line of demarcation. Talk to God about it. Multiply what you pay for newspapers and magazines every month and every day and every week by 365 days or 52 weeks. Put it all down and see maybe if that's justified in the sight of God. And said, Lord, would you stamp this for me, please? Would you approve of this? And then you take up the hours. You just figure up if you spend 15 minutes a day, and some of you spend 30 minutes and an hour a day, and you'll read not only one newspaper, you'll read maybe two, and all over this country, and that thing is eating our people's time up. And you've only got one thing between you and the undertaker, and that's a little thing called T-I-M-E, time. And if you're interested in living, you better watch your time, because that's the stuff life's made out of. Hell's vandal, man's writings, newspapers, magazines, and books. And let me tell you something else. Preachers, y'all are here tonight, aren't you? I think that man-made books and man-written books have taken too much of a place of the Word of God. Amen. And the preacher that has to read books of sermons to get sermons is backslidden. Put it down! Why don't you go to the Bible where they come from? Amen. The Irishman was told one day by his religious leader, you're not supposed to have a Bible in your home. He said, if you want the sincere miracle of the Word, you come to me and I'll give it to you. He smiled and kind of clasped his Bible to his heart and said, nah, I'll just keep the cow. Want some milk? I'll milk it myself. You better pay attention to what I'm saying. That old book says no word of Scripture has any private interpretation. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. We have a more sure word of prophecy, wherein you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star rise in your heart, brother. The Holy Spirit will help you understand the Bible if you'll read it prayerfully. You don't understand the Bible by getting smart. I'm kind of tired of hearing people say, boy, he's a brain. Yeah, we don't need brain, we need some hearts. We need people that can feel and weep and care and be burdened. We need hearts that love. Yes, sir. All right. Number two, vandal. This is just kind of new with me. I mean to cry out like this, but I'm going to do it because the time's short anyhow. It'll soon be over. I mean, if I lost every friend I got on the face of the earth, I may go to heaven before daylight anyhow. And y'all all have to apologize for breakfast. Because it's right. Education without regeneration is hell's vandal. That's robbed more people of their faith, shattered more hopes, Listen, you ought to read the letters I get. A woman wrote me, I mean a precious old saint of God, and I want you to know she sacrificed everything she had to send her boy off to college. And now then, I want you to know, with a mastermind, that boy has gone up the ladder of tremendous worldly success, and he announced to his mother, I do not believe in your God. That's an old-fashioned notion, and the need for God is obsolete, and I'll have you to know I'll never read another line in the Bible, and I'll never kneel to pray, and I'll never darken the door of another church as long as I live. And I received that letter that was soaked up in tears of a broken-hearted mother. And let me tell you something, brother. That's hell's vandal. Our schools started out to become our friends and have turned out to be the worst enemies of America and the cause of Christ on the face of this earth. And I'm talking about most of our religious schools, too. I just imagine I could raise, without trying to be a pessimist, I could raise my 8 fingers and 2 thumbs and say, that's about all the real spiritual schools of higher learning you can find in this country. I'm talking about that are shot full of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and evangelism and separated living. Our schools have been taken over and have become hell's vandals to rob the souls of men and to knock the props of faith out from under. I never call higher education worthwhile as long as it brings about lower living. And that's what's happened. Immorality, trouble. College students today. And just like I told you, America is a glorified insane institution and it's being run by its inmates. And our colleges are being run by hoodlums today, and they're the ones that's calling the plays, and the people are afraid. And our schools, listen, our academic schools, I mean in our grade schools, in our high schools, and they're doing the same thing. We've brought out laws the last few years and rules and regulations that make discipline impossible.